Hello. Let me turn my music down. Hello, this is Oil and Rights, and this is my second show in one day and my second guest. Can you believe that? I must be crazy. No, it's not that hard, and it's an awful lot of fun to have talk with people and meet new people and interview new people and put them in my hot seat. That's what I'm calling it. It's my hot seat. I'm going to stop the music here. Okay, you're going to have to say your name because we discussed this and I've already forgotten how to say the X.
It's Kalimahos.
Kalimahos.
You but just I like call me Cal.
Cal, but I like Kalimaxos better. It's kind of cool. You say the Mac. I have friends whose kids is one of them is Titus and one is Maxim. So I see Max. It's K A L I M A X O S. Cal, say it again for me, please, Cal.
It's Kalimahos.
Kalimahos.
But for you,
yes.
But
for
you,
me,
being that it is your show. We will adjust and
we will adjust, you know. And it is now Kalimaxos, which I'm sorry,
you're an insane woman.
I know, I'm an awful, terrible, insane woman. That is such a good
yes.
description of me.
Well, we're not doing psychotherapy today, so
Psychotherapy? Come on. Stop. It's not that bad. I'm not that bad. Nobody thinks I'm that bad. So you write on Literotica.
Yes, I do. Kind of,
so far, you are the only American Literotica content creator that I have met. I think I've met three or four people from England, but I've not met any other American other than I have like three chapters there. But so
that's because the others are not worth discussing or talking. I mean, after you talk to me, what else is there to discuss?
Ha ha ha. So tell me, what is it? What genre? What style? What is your, where do you categorize, where does your writing fall in the Literotica world? Tell me in the audience.
Okay. Well, most of my work is in the Loving Wives page.
What is Loving Wives? I don't, that sounds
Loving
lovely.
Wives
wonderful.
Is a,
very
yeah, it's a catch-all, yeah, right. It's a catch-all category for women cheating, cuckoldry, you know, where a man watches another man do his wife, the cheating genre, the catch-a-cheater genre, and either a woman cheats and then her husband and her make up, or you know, the crash and burn type of stories where pretty much it's the revenge of the divorced men, kind of like a thing, kink, where they find out that their wife is cheating on them and, you know, they go about, you know, they don't really get even. It's more like they dump her.
They dump her.
Yeah.
Boy, that
I mean,
sounds awesome. That's, you know, I'm a romance writer and all of that is like.
Oh, yeah. It's very romantic.
It's just like you're killing my romance buzz, bringing some reality into it.
Here's the thing. I write a little bit differently. My stories are, they never fit into like any of these pigeonholes, because I don't believe in doing that for one thing, because I find most of those stories rather two-dimensional, and there's no color, there's, you know, the characters are very, they're hardly developed properly, and there is no explanation why anyone does anything. It's, you know, my wife was a perfect Christian church-going woman, and then one day I came home and found her in bed with two strangers, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, how did this woman get from from here to there? I mean, how, you know, and I'm a believer that you need to tell that story. You need to explain if somebody does something. Nobody does something without a reason, that male or female. So in my mind, that's the story.
So I read your story, Does Size Matter? I read it. It's one of your shorter ones. As far as you don't, it doesn't have a ton of chapters and a ton of pay. I don't know how it compares lengthwise, but because I was curious about, well, I'm always curious about the different points of view and how men write women. And I had said before, I think I was chatting with Dare, that I had forgotten that you were a man writing women, although your women are, they're a little bit stronger and edgier I don't know. I mean, I can imagine women like this existing. They're not your typical romance heroine. They have a little bit more maturity to them. And a lot of romances, even if it's an older woman, she still has a tendency towards girliness, just to be honest. But your character in this, Jane, you know, the premise, I think, Does Size Matter? Is she was tall. And she really wanted to marry a tall man. And then it does not work out the way she wants. And she finds out he is cheating on her. And I wanted to read that scene where she calls up one of the women. Was he cheating on her? It was more than one woman, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was cheating with three women every time she would go out of town.
So, yeah. So she finds out, she's furious. She's been faithful and she's been trying to make the marriage work. And she's actually been suffering through some of the uncomfortable sex. And she finds out after all of that he has been cheating on her. And I liked this scene because I thought if that had happened to me, you know, when I'm angry, I always want to kind of set the world on fire. And I felt like this phone call that she had with this other character, this woman that had betrayed her, felt like that. It felt like she was setting the world on fire. And it was just it was a very satisfactory scene for me after all she had gone through. So I'm going to go ahead and read that for the audience, unless you want to.
No, because, you know, I could, but it's a woman's part, and maybe, you know, you do it more justice than I would.
Well, I'll try. This is a cold reading, so I have read it once, but I've not, it's not like I've been practicing because I don't practice anything. I'm just going to go ahead and take it at, she is with her private investigator. And I believe her father is in the room. And is her mother in the room too here?
Actually, they're sitting in the veranda outside.
And oh, okay, they're
she sitting. Has just talked to the investigator who has found out about her husband's cheating and told her about the three women and all that. And she caught her with the next door neighbor. So... And then there is another woman who just flat out didn't know that the guy was married. But the third woman is a coworker of his that the main character, Jane, knows and knows that she's married, has kids, and a husband.
Okay. So, and that was the other thing I liked about right. that scene. Speaking of the married and kids with a husband, that she, let me read it and then, because it'll come out. I think it comes out in the conversation. All right. Shoot. So I'm just going to go ahead and start. Let's see.
Gilbert Industries.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gilbert Industries, Heather Ross. I heard on the other end. May I help you? Hi, Heather. I said, this is Jane Fields. There was silence on the other end. Are you surprised I'm calling you, Heather? I asked coldly. I guess not, she replied with a hint of tremble in her voice. Jane, what, Heather? Are you sorry for fucking my husband for a year, or just sorry I found out? Again, silence. Are you going to tell my husband? She asked. Please, we have children. Did you think about that when you were sucking my husband off? I asked her, looking at the pictures from the manila envelope. Or when he had you bend over the hood of his car in what looks like my garage? Or when you and he were fucking in my bedroom? I could hear crying now on the other end of the phone. Jane, please, she begged in between sobs. Listen. Here, you cheating whore, I replied. I have met your husband. He is a good-looking man. I don't know what possessed you to step out on him. And if I remember correctly, he held your hand lovingly when I met you two at the last Gilbert Company party. What was it? Did my husband wave his big dick at you at your office door and you were under its spell? Did you want a cheap thrill and couldn't stop after you started? Are you one of those entitled bitches who think you deserve a dick on the side while your husband raises your kids and helps you pay your mortgage? Is that it? Heather was crying now. Stop your fucking sniveling and answer me, you cunt. I was raising my voice. A bit of all of the above, she finally said. Rob and I went to lunch once. Then on a week when you were away, some of us went to a bar after work. And that was a year ago. It's how it all started, Jane. And it was just one time and then nothing for a month. But I was tempted. And when he asked again, I was stupid. And you just had to have the large dick, right? Jane, I'm so sorry. We've established that, I replied. Sorry, you got caught. Jane, please. John will divorce me. Jane, I'll do anything. Oh, yes, you will, I replied. You will spend the rest of your days wondering when I am going to give your husband the pictures of you and Rob Boy, especially the one with his big dick choking your throat while you play with his balls. Those were my balls, you cunt. Jane, what do you want me to do? I beg you, please. I will be in touch with you, you stupid cunt, I replied. But know this, the only thing stopping me from calling your husband right now is your kids. They are still young and don't deserve to have their family broken up because of your selfish sluttishness. I'll be in touch. Jane, please, I heard just as I clicked the line off and tossed the phone on the table. Oh my goodness, Cal, you made me say the F word several times.
I got to tell you something. I couldn't have done this better. You have a career in reading.
I don't know if I could do that.
I wrote it and I couldn't do that. I would be making mistakes. I'd be, you know.
But I like that scene. I like her getting her revenge and being able to vent and be angry, but yet not destroying the thinking about the children and pulling back just a little bit and then leaving the other woman just kind of dangling like a fish on the line.
You know, you and I were talking one time about like how a woman would handle something like this versus how a man would handle it. And usually when I do women roles, I try to think of like the major emotions, you know, that people feel, hurt, jealousy, pain, you know, greed, all that stuff is pretty much the same in men and women. But I think when it comes to certain things like revenge, I think women can be more conniving. And I thought about it, like, what would a woman do? I mean, yeah, the typical crap you see in stories, scratch her eyes out, pull her hair, all that stuff. And I thought that was so demeaning and, you know, like a stereotype. So I said, now Jane is a pretty smart girl. She's like, she was, you know, the it girls and she's pretty good, you know, at her job. She's like the head person and, you know, the star of her company. So this woman wouldn't stoop down and do something, you know, let's face it, that a man would do. And so I literally thought of a way that she would get even with this other woman. And this was the first part where she makes the call and leaves her hanging. And later on, there is an even more diabolical
Well, revenge. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
No, 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 I'm not. But it Jane gets worse and more medieval with this woman without laying a finger on her. So how's that for a lead in?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But, you know, getting back to the whole thing, writing women, first of all, I'm really fascinated by a type of woman, professional women, women, you know, who are educated and work in business or even government or in the media. And these are women who are accomplished and good looking. And there is a certain, I don't want to say entitlement, but it kind of dives into it, where these women have a theory in their mind that it's okay for them to do certain things. They rationalize things. And one of them is, you don't get divorced, you keep your husband and your kids, and then you have, you know, a guy on the side.
So that's a little different from this story, though, than from what I just read. Is that
right? The story you read is a woman who has been cheated upon, because everybody in Loving Wives write stories about women who cheat. And as I told you, I don't like being conventional. So. And the thing is, when you first read it, in the beginning, I wrote it in such a way that you don't know that it's a woman who's watching her spouse cheating.
So it comes around. So it kind of sneaks up on you. In general, right. Oh, go ahead. I wanted to ask you what has gone into your research have you done anything or read any articles or anything to make you feel like you are better or more confident at writing women, especially in this particular genre, where, as you were saying before, it's usually the men dehumanizing and humiliating some way the women, or if it's cuckold, it's the men who get humiliated. I mean, what has gone into your research to make you better at specifically writing women? Then I'll ask about the other in a minute.
there is a fascination by, I'll get right to the point. My family was replete with strong women, from my grandmother, aunts, you know, my mother and all that. These were women who had a certain strength to them that was clear and out there for people to see. And they were respected, but there was also somebody special in my family that kind of took me under her wing, and she kind of helped mold me into a person that looked at women differently, not like the way other men do. Her mindset was, you know, be an alpha male with class, be a gentleman. And on top of that, I had an uncle that I idolized who was a perfect gentleman. Like, out of all the men in my family, my father included, my uncle was the guy that I looked up to. And the two things came together in my mind. And since I was young, I always looked at women in a different way than I think other men do. I walk into a room, you know, there's women and men. For me, the fascination is with the women. And I'm not just talking about like looking at, you know, their bodies, although that could be good. But it's they're more fascinating than guys. I mean, I know what guys are like. I am one. So where's the fascination there? Where's the interest? Where's the mystery? The mystery is for me as a man is women. And I've always wondered what makes women tick. And I've had women friends and all that. And I've noticed that, like I was telling you earlier, most of their emotions are no different than us.
They're just better. Now, they're just more emotive often.
Maybe some, but also some women can be more brutal emotionally than men.
Yes, I agree.
You know, very mercenary, very...
Well, your women definitely have, like I was saying, they're a little bit more edgy, do you think that edginess, that strength is based really all on your kind of family, you know, the strong women around you? Is that...
part of that is the family experience. Mm-hmm. Having strong women, having a grandmother with 10 children and surviving a world war as a refugee with a couple of the young ones, hearing stories about her and then meeting her. I mean, the woman had an IQ over like almost 170. And a photographic memory. She had the Iliad and the Odyssey memorized in ancient Greek and modern.
Which reminds me, speaking of, you are Greek. I did not say that. That's why I can't say your name.
Yes, I am.
You are Greek. Were you born in Greece? You were born in Greece.
I was born in Athens.
And you know what I'm going to want now? I'm going to want to hear you speak Greek. But go ahead and finish.
I was raised there, and then I came to America, and I lived in New York, a very, high-powered place where everything is on a fast pace and quick and all that. My experiences were molded by the two worlds. And after that, I did the military, and that changed me also. So, you take those three experiences and put them together, and you're, I also lived under a dictatorship for 3 years, which was something for a kid to experience. But
yeah.
So my experiences about life are a little different than your average person's, and I see things
a little different. Yeah, just a little. Yeah. I think that you're. Yeah. So now I want some Greek. I'm not gonna. We've been here 22 minutes, and I want to make sure. Wait. No.
I just said in Greek, what do you want me to say?
Oh, I want all the things. Are you kidding?
I see. Wait a second. Let me guess. You want something like bedroom-like.
Come on. You know, it is, it's my story time. So tell me a story.
Just for you. Έλα, αγάπη μου, κοίταξε τα μάτια μου. That means... Something you would, I know. It's something that a Greek guy would say to a woman in private, and it pretty much translates to, come on, my love, look into my eyes. Now, it doesn't translate very well in English, but, and mind you, the word agapimu, which means my love, translates differently in Greek. Because in Greek culture, there is romantic love, and then there's erotic love. So the word eros, which means eroticism, is a different love than the, there's like I love my mom love, then there is the I love my wife, or my girlfriend love, and then there's, that erotic love you have with somebody that you're not necessarily in love with.
Leave it to the Greeks to have what? Three different words for love? Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty much.
Oh, that's kind
of
amazing.
Also another word for love for like what a mother would have for her children.
So it's four called, words.
Yeah. And you know what? Since my Greek is not that good because it's been years, there's probably more that I just, I can't keep up. It's like I said, it's been years. So So you got your Greek. Now let's move on.
Oh, fine. Come on. I could make you talk Greek to me all day. That's pretty amazing. Okay, now, but I lost my train of thought. So I need to do that.
Okay, I'll get you back on track then. So I'll take over as host.
You're taking over now? Is that what's happening?
Well, you got all worked up over the whole Greek thing. So I'll get us back on track. And okay. We discussed about my how do I write women.
Yes.
And we were gonna go into like what kind of stuff I write.
Yes.
Okay. So as I said, most of it is in Loving Wives, but it's not your standard fare. I have a series called Life as a Bull. And obviously it's about cuckoldry. Man watches his wife having sex with another man, only it's told from the point of view of the escort or the bull.
That's a little different. That seems to be usually the bull doesn't play, like a main character role. He's just a walking
vibrator. Pleasure.
Yeah, let's say that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. In most of these stories, the man is either a total a-hole who demeans and disrespects the husband and uses the wife because she wants him to, or he's just somebody that they hired and he just does whatever and then it's over, but you never hear from him or his side of the story. It's rare that you do. And the few stories that are written like that are so off. So that's one of the things that I write. And other things that I do is pretty much, as we were saying, stories about, and they're multi-part stories that involve, strong women. And these women are not always, and the men, they're all flawed. I don't believe in perfect characters. I think that, it's rare that there's a person who's perfect or without fault.
Do you have a process from when you start a story? I mean, what is your, are you a planner, a pantser? How do you get ready to write a new story?
If it's my story, I pretty much map it out as to what's going to be in it. Unfortunately, my latest story was mapped out for me by somebody who asked me to write something. It's the story, The Diaries of Jane. And this man who went through this experience, and the real quick summary is his wife dies. He finds her diaries and finds out that the woman he thought he was married to had a secret life. And it involved her having multiple affairs and one of their children is not his. So that, and I don't want to go any much further for people who want to read it, but the way that the man who presented the story and asked me to write it, because it was too close for comfort for him. And he told me he's not a good writer, but he thought that the story needed to be told. So he asked me to write it, and I changed it around, the ages and the years and the places and all that stuff, so that the story could be told without it being in any way associated with him. But then he gave me artistic license to change it around a little bit. So in this case, I was kind of bound by what he gave me. But in my stuff, the stuff that I write that comes just from me, it's usually, I come up with a general idea of a story. I kind of know where I'm headed with it. And then I start writing. Be it like a single story, like the Does Size Matter, one of my series like Laura and Greg is a 10-part series, and that had a beginning and kind of like a middle and sort of an end. And then for now, I could always get back to it and do more. But it, usually in my mind, I have a general idea and I pick characters. And again, I try to make them as colorful as possible. And you know, at least the main characters. They have faults. They have, you know, like lack of communication or you know, snobbishness. They look down at certain people. You know, the whole idea is that they start out as something and then they evolve or they crash and burn based on their own actions.
So you have a lot of character development in your stories. When did you start writing on Literotica?
Actually, last summer was the first things that I posted.
What made you want to do that? I mean, were you on there already perusing I know our friend Dare, my friend Dare, he's like, that's my kink. You know, he's like, he just owns that. So were you on there already? You know, is that your the loving wives and all of that? Is that your kink?
No, actually, I started out just reading occasionally and in a category that is interesting, but kind of like fun because it's almost like science fiction to me, incest taboo. Where, you know, you suspend reality and you're like, whatever, okay? But that got old. And I started, you know, reading stories and loving wives. And the reason why I did is somebody told me that the scoring there was tougher, that it's a very hard place to write and get good scores, anything over a 4. So my goal has been to at least get a 4 whenever I write a story. You know, but I could get better scores by just writing predictable stuff that other people write. But then you probably wouldn't be interviewing me right now. I don't, you know, I'm not like, I don't like that. I honestly, there's a lot of times that I see some of the chapters in there and I can tell from the first couple of paragraphs where it's going. And I usually don't finish them.
Yeah.
And I'm not being snotty. It's just that
it doesn't appeal to you. You know, as a romance reader, I find myself, and I get it. I don't consider what I like really is. I mean, I have a type, and I know a lot of readers have a type. I find myself looking for the same kind of male characters with slight differences and the same kind of female characters with slight differences. The settings can vary. I don't really care about the settings for me as long as it's not contemporary. See, when I was looking at yours is, you know, in comparison to what I write, so much more realistic because I avoid realism. Like I'm so far on the other end of the spectrum. So if I came at it and tried to judge your writing based on what I mean, it would be such a slantedly awful. I'd miss all the unique nuances that you're trying to throw in. And you talk about the categories and how they judge differently. I know that public platforms to, you know, where anybody can comment on your free content can be pretty harsh anyways. I hear that all the time. I've not necessarily had those experiences, but I hear about them all the time. So you took on the challenge. You're like, oh, look, this is the hardest place to post. So I'm going to post here. I'm going to write my stories here.
Kind of, you know, I have to admit, I'm a bit of an asshole. And I
think, nice to know, Cal.
Look, if people haven't noticed that by my posts on Twitter by now,
I'm glad we've been warned.
No, I mean, it's like life is too short to you know, to bullshit each other and you know, just say what you think and say what you believe and, you know, then we'll all be better off for it. I mean, you know, then there's no question. I get, you know, I got things to do. I don't, you know, why should I play that game? Anyway, but getting back to this, I found that there was like all these different categories that were pretty set, you know, like you can do what I write and what I do in pretty much all the other, maybe like novels and novellas. That category, I can probably go and write my stuff there. I don't know. But I found the fact that the readers on Loving Wives are kindred spirits, assholes.
That, oh, Lord.
That the fact that they go after you in comments, I found it a challenge. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know. But I will tell you this, on my recent story, because of something that happened, I turned off comments, not because I don't want to hear from them, but because the nature of the story of Diaries of Jane had a little suspense and mystery to it. And I had a couple of people who came on in comments and pretty much wrote soliloquies on what they thought was going to happen. And this one guy went through like three or four different scenarios. And in one case, he actually guessed where the story was going in the next two chapters. Now, luckily, yeah.
A little frustrating.
Yeah. And I basically, I think I called him an a-hole and all that. You know, yeah. You know, of course, you know. And but because I had to rewrite two chapters, and I was lucky that the nature of the story allowed me to do it, but I said, until this thing is done, until Diaries of Jane is over, there'll be no commenting on my stuff, simply because I don't want to go through that whole thing again. I don't want to have a guy saying, well, I think this is what's going to happen. And you're like, again, no, we're not doing this again. So, and that's why, not that, you know, the comments of people who, the things that I've been called from, you know, you're a cuckold because a husband knows that his wife is having sex with another man. I'm like, it's a swinger story. Swingers do that. See, it's, you know, then, you know, you have to explain to people the difference between cuckoldry and swinging, which are not the same.
Explain the difference to me. Because I've not had any experience with either. Thank you, God.
So. In my previous life, when I was younger, for about a year or so, I was me and an ex of mine were members of a small swinger couples group. They were different than your normal swingers who go to clubs or join websites. And do it. These people, there was like a group of eight couples, was seven when we joined them. So there were eight couples, and you pretty much had from those couples seven other people to, you know, to have access with, or, you know, like on top of your girlfriend or spouse, you had, you know, seven other women, and the woman, seven other men. And the whole idea was, you know, you spread it around, you have a good time, you go home with whoever you came with. And the concept of full swap swinging is that full swap meaning a full sex. No, soft swap is where you just touch and maybe have some oral. Full swap means intercourse with and penetration of the woman by a man who's not her husband. The difference between cuckold couples and swinger couples is that you don't focus on the sitting around and watching your wife. You don't, as a matter of fact, in the group that I belong to, there was an unwritten rule that you don't crowd your spouse. You go there together, you know, and you say, okay, see you when it's over, or, you know, or when you're taking a break or something, but she goes off with other guys and you go off with other women. And, you know, I mean, the rule was like, you don't even want to go to the same room. Let's say you have a bedroom with two beds. If your wife is in there with somebody, you don't go there with another partner. It, that was, at least that was the group that I was in. And the whole idea was that, one, you don't want to crowd your spouse. And two, there was a distinct, don't want to say dislike, but aversion or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, they didn't want the cuckold crowd to come in. And these people were into swinging, not into cuckoldry. So they pretty much told us from early on, if you're into watching your spouse doing somebody else and all the crap that goes along with it, the drama and the, you know, and everything, we don't want it. That's not part of what we do. Here you come, you know, and do what you do, and then you leave and you go home like adults. So that's swinging, full swap swinging. Cuckoldry involves a couple that distinctly ask for another man to come and have sex with the wife while the husband is watching or not watching. He's somewhere else and he knows that she's having sex with another man. And it's a kink. Like you said, Dare is big on that in his books. And there's a lot of that in Literatica. And the part that I wrote, the story Life as a Bull, is based on the experiences of a bull in New York in the early 80s who was living that lifestyle. Okay. It stole from his point of view.
I did read a couple chapters of that, and I liked the contrast between that and the way you wrote Jane in Does Size Matter? There was a definite voice between the two characters, which, you know, I like the way, I think they were both first-person point of view. Point of view is so important when you're writing anything to hold the reader's attention. And I didn't have any problem. I didn't feel distracted by other things or whatever. I just want to compliment you on your holding your point of view and you're drawing your reader in, even though I think I've said before, it's a little angsty for me and a little bit too reality, but you know, it's still, it was good writing. So, and I wouldn't lie. If I can't read it, I can't read it. If I can't get through it, then I can't get through it. So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so
well,
now,
if you
go ahead,
you and I talked about this one day about, when you were getting me ready for this. And we talked about like how some people, when they write, and they mix up the points of view within
head
a story.
Hopping.
Yeah.
It's harder to do from first person, but people still do it. They'll still, you know, give the other person's point of view, even though you're not in their head. So you can't know what they're thinking. But yeah, it still happens.
Well, I kind of do that in a series, but when I'm writing a segment, like in Laura and Greg, when Laura is talking in first person, it's just Laura. When Greg is talking, it's just Greg. And you clearly see that this is, you know, this segment is Laura's point of view and this is Greg's. But it doesn't go back and forth from paragraph to paragraph. It's more like, you know, her point of view for quite a bit of the story and then his from his point of view as events take place, but they're separate. They're not like mixed. So when you're writing from a certain point of view, you need to write the point of view like of that one person. You know, like you said, no head hopping, because then you confuse the reader. And once you get in the mind and the mindset of one of the characters, you got to stick to it. And some are easier than others to do, especially like if you've got personal experiences, it's, you know, or versus like when somebody tells you a story and then you're retelling it, you know, like the Margot story is mainly a retelling of stories, of my Aunt Margot, who was quite a character. But it's, yeah, and it's pretty much stories of her lifestyle and things that she did. She was a very libertine woman and all that, but she told me some of her stories. Now, Bull is told, and here I might as well come clean, it's told from the point of view of a of me when I was young. I was right. I was
you were wild in the '80s. Are you sure you
want to out yourself? I first of all, I wanna tell you that this was never planned. This is something that came my way through two friends that I had in college. And he had this fantasy of watching me with his girlfriend, Abby. And I won't go into it too much as to why he was that way. It, you know, just take my word for it.
You gotta read the story.
He had that kink, and they asked me to, and because they were good friends, and because I had been to bed with Abby before once and liked it, and I said, okay, sure. Well, afterwards, Abby got a job in New York where she met a lot of wealthy women. And I guess women talk about things, and somewhere along the way of Abby's professional career and stuff, she met women of wealth who were interested in anonymity, them and their husbands, and confidentiality. And Abby had this idea that I would be, because I was like not known in the scene as an escort or anything like that, I was like a nobody, that she could groom me to do that for these women.
Can I ask how old you were?
How old?
Yeah, when this happened, what was your age?
Early 20s.
Early 20s. Oh, my goodness.
And I did it.
And it was a different era, the 80s and the, you know, that was a very
early 80s.
That early 80s was, you know, young David Bowie and all of
81.
That. And yeah, oh my goodness, end of the 70s.
I'm giving my age away now, but
you know, you've been outed.
Oh yeah. And you know, I mean, it's who I am. It's and who I was actually. Because that was like the early part of my life. And I only did that for a year and about 3 months.
A year and about 3 months. That's really interesting. I don't know. I hope you're not going to regret this interview. Let's just put it that way. That was all you, not me. I had nothing to do with that. I was going to switch and say, you know, you told me when you were talking about big voices, so I want to hear your Scottish voice now that I've heard your Greek one. So, but no.
I appreciate you giving me an out, you know, but since I said what I did back then, it bears some explaining. I was
you
young.
Have actual was, bull you were young and but you have actual yeah. bull experience, and so you know your real life experience is contrasts quite a bit with actually some of the kink stories that are out there. I can't imagine, you know, I don't know. You probably didn't hear the very last interview that I did with Johnny, and he's talking about swinging, but in his descriptions of swinging, he sounds like he's talking about a bull, because he's like, no, the husband is in the room and sometimes he's watching. And he got in a situation with somebody else because the wife, he walks in and he's this young guy and he's nice looking. And the wife was like, ooh, and the husband was like, oh, he agreed to do it and thought it was cool. And then there was some competition that walks in the room, some young competition. And so that caused, you know, some of that drama.
This needs a little bit of explaining. Okay. First of all, the majority of the people that I was contracted for, commissioned, whatever you want to call it, they were older people, 40s and above, who knew what they were doing, had done it before, were comfortable in what they were doing. I mean, she knew that her husband had a cuckold kink and vice versa. So there was no drama, really.
And there was and older and wealthy, too. You had mentioned how, you know.
Yes. These people were literally spending their money, not necessarily because they couldn't get somebody to do it for less. They were spending their money for confidentiality. That was the main reason. When you're living in where they lived and the world that they lived and what they did, they didn't want, you know, people knowing or whatever. And so here, you know, I was this young unknown who my friend Abby introduced to them. And now, not all my work during that 1 year and a half or year and 3 months was cuckoldry. I would say close to a half of it was just being a male escort for, you know, for professional women with money that just wanted an escort. A lot of times it was just to go to a party where they wanted eye candy, you know, a young guy dressed in, you know, expensive suits and who could carry a conversation. And especially if they told their friends that I was European for some reason, you know, that, you know, gave, I don't know, maybe the women felt like, oh, look, I have a European boyfriend. You know, whatever it was, I didn't care. All I cared about was like, okay, what do I have to do for the evening? Is it party only or do I have to do something afterwards? And the other half was working with those couples. Now, like I said, most of those couples were older and they knew, so there was no drama with them. The drama in cuckoldry comes with new couples who want to try it out. They can go either way on you, okay? And no matter how you warn them and you tell them that this is going to be a shock to both of you, that you will, once you do it, you can't undo it. Like I remember I needed to be blunt with this one guy, and I said to him, once your wife is fucked in front of you, she can't be unfucked in your head. You will remember that for the rest of your life. Your relationship with her will never be the same. She will never look at you the same way. And I said the same thing to her. And she was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And I'm like, well, the average man does not give his woman to another man to have sex with.
No, the average man does not, I would hope.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, you know, you're a woman, you know, I mean, if your husband were to tell you now, I want you to do somebody else and then I'm going to sit there and watch like it, you know.
Well, that's not you, my, you know, yeah, I have issues. My issues are like,
you know, the kink, right.
Yeah.
You know, the kink, but as a human being, you say, why would he give me away?
Yeah. Okay?
Exactly. And all that. Right. Your average couple are not that are new to this, that have, you know, maybe talked about it a little bit or whatever. They don't understand the repercussions of this thing when it actually happens, you know, where it can go either way. I mean, the guy could look at it and go, this is the best thing since, you know, how did I not do this before? Or he could be so shocked that, you know, he becomes catatonic, I mean, or angry or whatever. You don't know. You don't know how these people are going to react because they haven't thought it through, most of them. So some people think that I have a dislike towards cuckold people, and I don't. I have a issue with people who don't think it through and cross that line. And the problem is that some of these people have kids. And once they ruin their marriage, their kids end up suffering because of them wanting to play a dangerous game. So that, and that's my take. Other people take it differently, but that's how I see it, because I saw that a couple of times. And you know, you warn these people, and you know, it doesn't, you know, it. And the thing is this, you know, obviously the point of view of the guy, the shock of watching his wife with another man, but then you have the woman's point of view, where these women are like, wait, I can stay married, have sex with multiple men, and not get divorced? Did I win the lottery? You know, yeah, at first. And then they get up one day. I'm acquainted with a couple that has done this. I used to talk to them online. And they, the first year, it was like all fun and games, because he was one of those, like the kid in the candy store. But then before the year was over, she was starting to not have sex with him anymore and just do these other guys. And, you know, their marriage turned into something else. And she pretty much admitted to me that she had like lost total respect for him. Like, you know,
yeah.
So anyway, so, you know, not beating a you know, a dead horse, but that those are the things you look at in cuckoldry, the whole concept, you know. And that's why when I was younger, when I was doing it, you know, I
didn't your stories have edge.
Yeah. I didn't get involved with the younger ones. I think that there was like one, I think it was only like a couple of cases that were younger people. And what I'm talking about is like maybe late 20s, early 30s. The majority of them were older than that, and they knew what they were doing. So, but anyway,
what an interesting life you've got. You were like on the swinger scene, and then you were a bull as an escort. Then you were in the military. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It was a lot more interesting than my life. I just got to tell you, I make all my stories up out of thin air.
I didn't plan it.
And lots of reading in thin air. That's where I get all my inspiration from. I want to lighten it up. I know you don't have anything in front of you, but you said that you did a Scottish accent. We were talking before the show, and I heard you say that you had done.
I hate you so much.
Oh, come on. No, you don't. I'm a sweetheart. Everybody loves me. Come on. You can do some other voices. I would love to hear. Cal, please.
I'm beginning to realize that you have another kink. You have like an accent kink.
No, yeah. I like voices. I do have a thing for voices. I like accents. I like
I'll be
like
honest with you.
I like.
I can do accents because I learned English when I was in my teens, which means that my face muscles didn't get set to just one language pattern, even though I still have my New York accent in the background. But still, I have to get like in the mood. Like I think I told you when I did a Scottish accent for one of my science college projects, I had to watch Braveheart so that I could.
Okay, so you're not going to do Scottish, but you could probably do like the not speak Greek, but do a Greek accent. Give me Zorba the Greek.
But I can also do a German accent. although.
Talk dirty to me with a German accent. No, don't. I can't. I'd have to take my earbuds out. But
it's going to be awful. All the work we just did is going to go out the window.
I'm going to ruin the interview by making
you. One thing I want you to know is that I never used accents for picking up women.
You walk into a bar.
I know it's a kink for some women. I know. Yeah, you do. You walk in, you know, and you won't believe how many times I've heard from like women, you know, when I was younger and single.
Oh, no, I believe it. It doesn't matter. Anywhere you go, if you have an accent, especially if you're doing audio voice work,
right.
If you have an accent, you're like immediately 10 times hotter. It's just a law.
Right. I mean, but the thing is this, you got to get in character. You know,
just off the cuff. I never do this. Actually, Quincy speaks. I can see. I think he's still in the room. I do this kind of stuff all the time to him and to Zane. Come on. You have joined the chat. You are in. It's my show. You must do what I want.
Well, as a Greek man who speaks many languages, I could say that you are officially crazy. You know, this is so terrible for me. I'm sorry. I'm just not in.
You like to prepare for things. I don't like to prepare.
No, that's the only thing. Nothing. That's the only thing that I need to do, because it's not my normal language. But I can, you know, I can do, you know, like. If I watch a movie, that too.
He's like, I gotta go and listen to it first, and then he ends up having an English accent that goes Australian. That goes, he's making faces. They're both Quincy, and they're like, "What? We can't help you, buddy. Sorry."
Each accent is well distinct.
Yeah, I know. Maybe next time I have you on, I could have you. I'll prepare you. You'll have to come again. I'll prepare you ahead of time, and you can read some Dr. Seuss in a Scottish accent. Wouldn't that be so hot? Come on.
There may be a muting or a blocking in your future.
You could just read some seductive Fox in Socks. No. Can't you come?
I want you to know, just, and I'm telling you the truth. When I was younger and single, and women would hear that I was from another country, they would say, "Oh, speak to me like, you know, like that." I would literally say,
"No,
I need to get out of here." Yeah, because it's a gimmick. You know,
it's a fantastic, it's not like we're, you know, well, no, but you know,
it's like you can't pick up a woman on your personality and you have to resort to a trick, you know, here, let me wave like an accent in front of her eyes and hypnotize her with it.
Cal, what do you think a good bra is? It's a trick. Come on.
It's true.
A good bra, a pair of Spanx, you know, that's awesome. Good makeup. It's a trick. You take that woman home, wake up the next morning, you're like, what happened?
Hey, let's not discuss my nightmares, because I've been there a few times. And you're like...
Oh my goodness. Well, at least I got you laughing. So I'm going to go ahead and finish out the show with that, because I like to leave people with laughter. And I thank you for coming on and being so honest about your past and your youth and your experiences and sharing your writing and your kind of your why your women tend to be stronger and your point of view in the literati community, how you just do it a little bit differently. I like that. I like, I always like to put a little twist on something. My own writing in the Megaverse has a little bit of a twist, and it makes it unique and stand out from the crowd. So I appreciate you being brave enough to come on and sit in my hot seat. Even though I couldn't get you to do 20 different accents. That's fine.
I'm making an appointment with my therapist.
Yeah, we could do, oh my goodness, I could write some euphemism poetry just for you to read in an accent. That would be so cool. Okay.
I so don't like you right now.
Oh, come on. Everybody loves me. No, that's not true, actually. But I'm going to go ahead and put the music on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. A little bit of sarcasm there.
Bye.
Bye. Oh. people. This has been Isuellen Wright's Grown Up Storytime. I want to thank my poor guest. Oh, Callie. Oh, darn it. Callie Maxos. Callie Ma. Okay, he told me how to say his name properly, and then he gave me permission to call him Callie Maxos, because there's no way. The X is silent, but I don't know where to put it. Where do you just hang it up on the wall? Anyways, this has been Isuellen Wright's Grown Up Storytime. I have enjoyed my guest today and Monica this morning. I hope you have a chance to check out their profiles, check out their work, and just maybe learn something new, encounter something new. I hope that you have some laughter today in your life, and I can't wait to hear your story. Thank you.